Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of KJV, BibleBelievers.com. In this study, we will look at the resurrection in the Old Testament. Many of you may find it hard to believe, but the resurrection is denied in most mainline denominational seminaries and churches. We will see that any Bible believer can see the resurrection is clearly taught. The only question is, will you believe it? The resurrection in the Old Testament.
And tonight, I want to look at the resurrection in the Old Testament. We're going to look at the resurrection in the Old Testament. And I want you to understand that most colleges today that call themselves Christian will deny the resurrection. And they'll teach their students that. So if any of the young people here want to go off to a Christian college, number one, you better watch out. Because a lot of them call themselves Christian colleges, and then they get you there on campus, and they want to rob you of your faith in this book. And they want to rob you of that blessed hope. And they want to rob you of your faith in the resurrection. But that goes for churches as well. I don't say it because I think I'm special or that we're the only, you know, true church or anything like that. There are a lot of good Bible churches and a lot of home churches that stick to the book. But by and large, the mainline churches and denominations, the pastors actually do not believe what we're going to study tonight. And they will teach against it, sometimes in subtle ways. But they will contradict God's Word. Now, I want to start in Matthew 22 and show you that this is what they were doing in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, there were a large group of religious leaders who were denying the resurrection, and they were denying that the Old Testament teaches the resurrection. In Matthew 22, and look at verse 23. Read that with me. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and ask him. And they go on to ask a question, and we don't want to lose our focus and get into that question right now. But I want you to pay attention to what you just read. This was a major segment within the religious leadership of Israel, the Sadducees. And they denied that there was a resurrection taught in the Old Testament. And today, you are going to be faced with that. You'll watch things on television, the History Channel or whatever, and you go to the library and rent those DVDs and they'll say, The Life of Jesus. And you think, ooh, this sounds good. So you take it home, pop your popcorn, start watching it. Next thing you know, they're denying the resurrection. You don't believe me, test it. And there's a thing called the Jesus Seminar. Doesn't that sound good? If someone said, hey, the Jesus Seminar is meeting next week. You want to go with me? Most of you say, yeah. You know what you'd get when you get there? They would tell you that Jesus didn't say most of what's in your Bible. And they deny the resurrection. And those are the men, one of them's named Funk, fittingly. They are the men that they invite on these History Channel and PBS specials. How many of you are old enough to remember a guy named Peter Jennings? Aha. Few of you over the hill. Yeah. Peter Jennings had a special on the historical Jesus. And he invited experts and scholars. And those were the guys he invited. They Jesus seminar, liberal, apostate teachers who denied the resurrection. Just like these Sadducees in Jesus' day. Now, you see, you go a few verses down. I want to go on down to verse 31. We'll see here that Jesus clearly answers them. And he points out the fact that they err because they don't know the Scriptures. Think about that. Look at verse 31. It says, this is Jesus talking. He says, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God? He's talking about the Old Testament, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You see, Jesus took them on by going to the Scripture. And that's my challenge to start with tonight to you. If you want to do battle against wickedness and error and sin, and you want to go out and reach the lost with the gospel, you need to be a Bible student. Because you need to be able to do what Jesus did. He did it right here. You remember Luke 4 when He was tempted in the wilderness? Every time Satan lied, Jesus came back with, "It is written." Where did He get that, "It is written"? Old Testament. And we've emphasized that over and over, that when you're reading what's going on in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, there is no New Testament. There's nothing but an Old Testament. And they constantly went back to that Old Testament and quoted it to defeat the enemy.
Very quickly.
And I'm not going to take a lot of time to discuss all of these passages, but I want to show you the Old Testament teaching of the resurrection, and we're going to start by going back to Genesis. So go to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. How many of you don't know that Genesis is the first book in the Bible? One, two, three. I'm kidding. There's none. Genesis 22. Beginning in verse 3. I had read this a number of times, and then one day it dawned on me what I was reading. I confess that to you, because if you've read the Bible and you haven't learned something from this or that passage, keep reading it, keep praying, the Lord will open your eyes. And beginning in verse 3, it says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son." You recognize the story? "And clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him." Anybody know where that is? She's named after that place. She knows the answer. Moriah, the Mount Moriah. That's where he was told. Verse 4. "Then on the third day," isn't that interesting? "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." Verse 5. Read that with me. "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Now, I'm going to let you do this homework later on, but if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find that the Holy Spirit tells us there that what Abraham just told in this passage was a profession of faith in the resurrection. That he believed that even if God did cause him to kill Isaac, that he would raise him. And he's telling the young men right here he believes in the resurrection. And he's saying, even if I go and offer my son, God will raise him and we will come again. So there's an introduction to the resurrection in the Old Testament. Now, the Bible says something that's very important if you're not here tonight and sure of your salvation. The Bible says one of the reasons why a lot of people don't understand this stuff is because these things are spiritually discerned. In other words, you must be born again. You have to have the Holy Spirit in you. When you're born again, it means you believe that Jesus died for your sins, that He was buried and that He rose again. And you're trusting in that, believing that that is your whole basis for eternal life. Jesus paid for all your sins. Jesus conquered sin and death. You are now saved. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit comes in. And from that moment on, He becomes your tutor, your counselor. And as you read the Word, He'll start to open these things up to you. But if you're here tonight and you're not sure of that salvation, then before you leave here tonight, you need to make that sure. Make your calling and election sure, as Peter says. And then you'll know that God will start to teach you. Now let's look at a second example. Turn over to 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah is given the promise that she is going to have a child. And she's praising God. Look at verse 1 in chapter 2. It says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Isn't that interesting? Her prayer and her rejoicing begins with salvation and her trust in the Lord. Now, look a few verses down and you'll see what she says in verse 6. Read that with me. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. That's the resurrection. Hannah is praising God for, after having a barren womb, now being with child, going to give birth. But she goes beyond that and praises God as the God of the resurrection. And don't let anybody tell you that the Old Testament doesn't teach the resurrection. And if you read this, I again encourage you to do a little homework. Read this if you haven't read it lately. This wonderful, beautiful prayer from Hannah after learning of the answer to prayer. Now look at 2 Samuel chapter 12. And this is a truth that not only helps us understand the resurrection in the Old Testament, but this is why we believe all babies go to heaven. And 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning in verse 19, David has committed murder and then committed adultery. Or not in that order, actually. He committed adultery, and because of that, Bathsheba is pregnant, so he commits murder, and he kills. He has Uriah the Hittite killed in battle. He tells the military leader to put him in the front row of battle so that he'd be killed. And God sent Nathan the prophet and said, I have to tell you something, King. There was this man who threw a party, and he wanted to slay a lamb. And instead of taking one of his many, he grabbed the one lamb that belonged to the poor neighbor he had and killed that neighbor's lamb. And David said, he'll die for it. And Nathan looked at him and said, thou art the man. Because David had all that he wanted in life. Too many women in his life. And Uriah had one wife, and David took that wife. The reason I'm telling you that is because a lot of people try to tell you that if a baby dies and the parent isn't right with God, the baby probably is not elect and goes to hell. Well, there's a real problem with that nonsense. And one of the problems is right here in this text. A baby conceived in sin and adultery. And yet, look what it says, beginning of verse 19. But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house. And when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then, verse 21, then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. Now watch this. Verse 22, and he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live. But, verse 23, but now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So you have this truth that this baby, even though it was conceived in sin, went to heaven. And David is professing his faith in the resurrection. And that when he dies, he will be raised and he will be with this baby forever. Can you say amen? Amen. Look at another one. This is one of my favorites. Job. Job 19:25. Read it with me. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Now, so far, so good. My Redeemer liveth. He will stand upon the earth in the latter day. But look what it says. Verse 26. Read it with me. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Amen. Go to any graveyard, any cemetery, anywhere on the planet, and you look at all those graves. My dad used to like say, boy, everybody's just dying to get in there. Amen? Every one of those graves, if they're out in the yard with a marker, there used to be a body there, but there's nothing left but bones if it's been there for very long at all. That's what Job's saying. Even though my body go into a grave and to be totally recycled by the worms, he says, yet in my flesh shall I see God? Look at that. Look what he said. In my... Wait a minute. Didn't the worms eat that flesh? Listen, there's nothing too hard for God. He's going to put that flesh right back on. Only this time it'll be in a glorified state. No more balding. Amen. No more headaches. Brother Jim, say amen. No more vertigo. I better not do that. Amen. Did I not text you? I think of this all the time, folks. One of the reasons I want to talk about this is because I have so many people who say they're Christians. I don't doubt that one bit. But they email me or they call me or whatever, and they seem to have no real hope. It shouldn't be that way. We serve the God of the resurrection. We have that promise. We could drop dead right now. And we know that my Redeemer liveth. And though worms eat this flesh, In my flesh, I shall see God. That is powerful stuff. Look at it says in verse 27. There's more. I almost cut it off. Read verse 27 with me. Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eye shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. You are going to see God with your eyes. You are going to see Jesus face to face. This is an old joke for some of you been around. I'm going to say it again anyway. You'll find out that he doesn't look like Kenny Loggins or Eddie Rabbit. All these, I'm not telling you you're an idolater going to hell or anything, but I'm just saying if you've got a picture of some guy on your wall and there, that's Jesus. We don't know what Jesus looked like. I just urge you, take the picture off the wall. Why? Because it would be like Jenny having a picture of Eddie Rabbit on the wall and saying, that's my husband. I'm like, honey, I don't look anything like that. Well, we don't know what Jesus looked like, but all over the world, Christians look up at a picture of some guy, you know, looks like Eddie Rabbit, and they're saying, oh, that's Jesus. But based on what? Revelation 1 tells us what he looks like right now, and he's got hair like Jenny. White like wool. Amen? People always want to come up here and say, what's with your hair? She needs to say, well, I'm just looking like Jesus. Just trying to be like Jesus. Yeah, that's true. I'm not going there. Because, anyway, turn over a few more pages. Isaiah. I want to fit in a few more real quick. Isaiah 26. Look at verse 19. We're just going to read this one verse. Isaiah 26, verse 19. Read that with me. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Now you noticed I said herbs. It's because I listened to Alexander Scorby. He's English. He says herbs. She says it's herbs. But either way, how much clearer can it get? Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. Powerful message of the resurrection throughout the Old Testament. Let's go a few more pages. Ezekiel 37. You see, belief isn't just a, oh, I hope so, you know, heads. That's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When you think of faith, you should think of substance and evidence, not just a blind leap. And the more you study this book and you see that it is infallible, there's nothing in this book that can be legitimately called an error in this book. And when you see that, and you see the prophecies that have come true, and you see that it's coming before our very eyes, and you realize that that same book that tells you all these other things also tells you you are going to be raised from the dead if you will simply trust in Jesus and His death, burial, and resurrection. 37. I'm going to read a few verses. Read along with me. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and though they were very dry, them dry bones. If you're old enough, you know what I'm doing right there. That's a song I was singing. Verse 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, this is my question to you tonight, folks. Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Verse 4, again he saith unto me, or said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. He's talking to Ezekiel. And say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh, there it is again, upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. And then the rest of the story prophetically speaks of this resurrection. Tell me that the Bible doesn't teach the resurrection in the Old Testament. It's throughout. One more place. We studied Daniel a few months ago. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. I'll read verse 1. It says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, great tribulation, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. That's what Jesus said about it in Matthew 24. Even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Verse 2, read it with me. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's the resurrection, and that's the only two choices. You will be raised. You will spend eternity somewhere. The question is, where will you spend eternity? You see, the people who are cast into a lake of fire have a body. And that body will live forever. What is your choice? When you are resurrected, will you be raised, as it says here, to everlasting life? Or to shame and everlasting contempt. I want to look at one other thing, Matthew 27, back where we started. Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53. When Jesus rose from the dead, look what happened. 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. You see, the resurrection already started. The resurrection of the dead and the Old Testament saints started here. There have already been Old Testament saints taken out of paradise. And I believe when it says many, it's an all-encompassing word. He took all the believers out of paradise. In John 20, real quick, look over at John 20. In John 20, right after this resurrection of the Old Testament saints, in John 20, verse 17, it says that, verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary, she turned herself, saith unto Him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And then Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Now He does that, and then after verse 19, He comes back. Why did He do that? Well, I believe one of the reasons is because He took His blood up into the Holy of Holies in the temple that's in heaven. Hebrews says there's a heavenly temple that Moses was given the blueprint to and built on the earth, a model of that. And I believe Jesus took His blood into the Holy of Holies and fulfilled the picture that we see in the Old Testament tabernacle. But look, this is it, Ephesians. Ephesians 4. Galatians, Ephesians. And here's what I believe, when you put it all together, when the Old Testament saints were resurrected, right after Jesus was resurrected, and Jesus said, I have to ascend to my Father, and He did, and He came back. Then in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, Wherefore saith He, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up front, far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. You see, the resurrection's already started, and Jesus took those Old Testament saints and took captivity captive and took them up to the heaven of heavens, known as the third heaven. Third heaven's where God is. Second heaven is the outer space, as we call it. And then the first heaven is our firmament, our atmosphere. And Jesus took those saints up to heaven. So in reality, it's already started. And all we're waiting for is the trump, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be. Is not that an awesome, awesome promise?
Be sure wonderful to visit truth. Our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com, where you can find a wealth of MP3 audio message downloads, along with additional videos, articles, and links. This message is brought to you by Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. I am Greg Miller. Thank you for listening.